Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil,
the Apostle Peter says, irrespective of the contest you find yourself where there's unfairness or you've been mistreated, your example is Christ Jesus.
Pastor Neil takes us through the book of 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3. In a world filled with unfairness and discrimination, this book offers guidance on how to handle unjust situations. Whether it's dealing with a government that mistreats its citizens, conflicts between spouses, a boss treating workers poorly, or when fellow Christians let us down, he emphasizes looking to Jesus Christ as our ultimate example. As believers, we're called to live out our Christian principles even in the face of injustice and hold on to the hope that Christ can sustain us through such difficult times. He also reminds us to let the Lord fight our battles because He's more than able to fight for us. Pastor Neil has titled this message, How We Can Prepare for Unjust Treatment.
All right, so we will continue with our series of study from the book of 1 Peter. Today, I will go through a few chapters. We'll be in chapter 2 and then chapter 3 at the same time. And we will be looking at the living hope we have beyond unjust treatment. There is unfairness in our world. Life is simply unfair. And you need to come to that realization instead of crying out loud. Life is what? It's unfair. Very, very unfair. And we will focus on the subject, how you and I can prepare ourselves for the unjust treatment you would receive at some point in your life. Show by hand anybody who has been mistreated in this room. You've had an unjust treatment. If you've never had one, it's on its way. Because at some point in your life, somebody will not treat you fairly. And you yourself may not have treated somebody what? Fairly. Sometimes we are not treating people fairly. It starts in our own home. All right? You see husbands not treating their wives fairly. They would rather go and treat other women. They would say, hey, how are you doing, honey? And they never call their own spouses honey. That's an unjust treatment. Today, I pray that you have to be born again. All right? Have you seen at the workplace when two people are doing the same work but somebody gets paid more? And you have nothing else to say. Unfairness exists pretty much everywhere. Sometimes it's even what I call an unconscious bias when somebody makes an automatic or often intentional judgment based on what I call implicit biases or assumptions. Because they are from this place, we treat them like that. Now, I am not saying it's okay. I am only saying that it is a fact of life. And today, Peter is going to show us how we can prepare ourselves for that. Amen. One of the unfairness of life that sometimes really bothers me is, have you ever met someone who has made all the right decisions, but everything that happens in their lives is the opposite? Then somebody is making every poor choice, but everything is lining up for them. That's what I'm talking about, that life in itself is purely unfair. But God is just. Somebody has a lot of money, they can't sleep. A bum on the street can sleep at a temperature of 90 degrees, and they are doing it right by the roadside. So let us not worry over the unjust nature of life. Let's figure out, how can I prepare myself that even when it hits my door, I can still overcome. Amen. Are you here with me this morning? Say this with me. Life just ain't fair. When you come to the realization that life is not fair, there are two options for you. The first option is what I call the human perspective. The second is the divine perspective. The human perspective is that because life is not fair, I'm not going to play fair too. Have you met people like that? Yeah. Life is not fair, so they're not going to be fair. And you find Christians who would sometimes say things like, God, I can't believe you just threw me under the bus. When are you going to listen to my prayer? No, God is not against you. He is for you. Amen. It is simple that we live in a life that is not fair. The divine perspective recognizes that God remains just even when life is not what? Fair. There are five different scenarios in the book of 1 Peter from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 3 that I want to take you through that the apostle mentions. He mentions five different scenarios, and I'm pretty sure he covered most parts of life. Number one, he talks about citizens who are being mistreated by unjust government. Does that sound like something that happens in our day? Now, so turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 because I want us to read the word of God. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 13 to verse 17. He says, submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slaves. Honor everyone. Other versions say, respect everyone. Say that with me. Love the brothers and sisters. Fear God. Honor the emperor. So Peter is saying that there's going to be one scenario where you have a government, an emperor, a governor, someone in a place of authority in the political arena who is not going to treat you right. We find in this society here in America that there is what I call unequal treatment. Sometimes it is embedded in the system. Sometimes it's blatant. Do you agree? The scripture says that the child of God can still find hope beyond that. When you find yourself in that place, when you are being mistreated by a certain government, please do not be afraid. You got hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. The second group of people Peter talks about are slaves, all right? And most people have used these verses to say that the Bible endorses slavery. The Bible never endorses slavery. The scripture only teaches that if you find yourself as a slave of someone, still behave like a child of God. That's what the scripture is teaching you. He's not telling you that it's okay for us to be slaves. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verses 18 to verse 20. He said, household slaves, submit to your masters with all reverence, not only to the good and gentle ones, but also to the cruel. Do you guys agree? That sometimes, how many of you have house helps? You have nannies, live-ins. This verse applies to you. How do you treat them? Is it because you pay them, so you talk to them anyhow? I didn't say go fire your nanny. They need the money. Keep them there. But I'm saying treat them right. Amen? Amen. Treat them what? Right. So household slaves, submit to your masters with all reverence, not only to the ones who are good and gentle, but also to the ones who are cruel, who are unjust, or who mistreat you. Verse 19 says, for it brings favor if, because of a consciousness of God, someone endures grief from suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you do wrong and are beaten, you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God. Most people, I believe, would simply want, oh, you know what? God, don't even talk about slaves. He's just telling us that life is not fair, that we will get to that place where some people will be masters and some will be what? We just said it. Life is not fair. So we are applying it. So there could be unjust government mistreating citizens, or there could be slave masters or masters of homes. And I want to take this moment to say, if you have a nanny, if you have somebody who you employed who is helping you in your home, relatively, Even though the use of the terms master and slave sounds a bit harsh, you are still in that contest in the scripture. Treat them like your own. Did you hear that? I said, treat them what? Like your own. Peter gives us a third example, and that one is right within the husband and the wife. He says, wives could also be mistreated by unjust husbands. I'm not talking about the modern nuances. You and your husband had an argument, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody feels that they are being abused. If you're going to talk nonsense, somebody will talk nonsense back to you. If you don't want it, be respectful. I will preach the truth to you. Is that okay? All right. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at the first 6 verses. And I want you to look at, because sometimes we read some of these verses and we read them out of context. In the same way, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. All right, I want you to circle, highlight, underline, block it, make it big, own. Not somebody else's, your own. Ladies, sometimes you like submitting to other people's husbands. You are so nice to them. Submit to your own. Is it just because you see alkalkosis so you don't want to submit? Submit. In the same way, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live. When they observe your pure, reverent lives, don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wear. Now, sometimes we read these verses and we say, oh, the women should dress nice. I wanted to keep it in context because the context is simply this. If you have an unjust husband, he says the way to win them is not how you dress to attract them, but it is the inner beauty, the things you do is how you win them. That's a man saying amen. Verse 4. But rather, what is inside the heart, imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. Husbands, do not insist that your wife call you Lord until you are an unjust husband. That's the contest here. Let's stop butchering scripture. He's saying that an unjust husband, if they sense that you are calling them Lord, and your attitude is different, you would win them for Jesus. It's not something we want to hear, is it? The scriptures are hard to follow, but it is a blessing for you in the future. Amen. So Peter says there could be citizens mistreated by a government, slaves mistreated by their masters, wives mistreated by their husbands, but husbands also mistreated by unjust wives. Look at verse 7, 1 Peter 3. He said, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker partner. Weaker not meaning that women are weak, but physically, compared to men, are weaker. Husbands, in the same way, live your lives with your wives in an understanding way. Everybody say understanding way. He says, as with a weaker partner, showing them honor. So the husband is supposed to show their wife what? But sometimes we don't. And in that context, the scripture says we are mistreating them. How should we show them honor? It says, show them honor as co-heirs. In other words, they are equal. They are co-heirs of the grace of life. It is amazing how we can be co-heirs in Christ, but then when we come to the worldly standard, all of a sudden, you are above. Ladies, I want to talk for you, can I? Now, most of you in this ministry, when you look at me, what do you learn? That I respect my wife. That I make her equal. And my wife doesn't jump over my head. She respects me all the same. When we're having a talk, she says, "Hun, I know you have to make this decision." Are you guys with me? Ladies, it's you I'm talking. I'm trying to help you here. Respect them. I took 40 days to learn something. And it's in a book written by, I think it's Gary Chapman or someone. He says, "Love Dare." And in it, for 40 days, I deliberated on acts of love for my wife. And one of the greatest lessons I learned was that love should never have a reason. If it has a reason, then it's not love. It was not in the book. It's something I discovered. Love should never... Does your love for your spouse have a reason? It shouldn't. I've asked my wife that before. Later on, I realized I was wrong. Because when I look at it, I really don't have a reason. I just love the girl. If you can look for reasons as to why you love someone, something is not right. Why does God love you? He has no reason. He just loves us. We keep sinning. He keeps coming for us. Your wife sins more. You don't want to go back. You want to just leave them alone. Ladies, I think I've said enough for you, right? So Peter is saying that there will be situations where citizens are mistreated by their government, slaves mistreated by their masters, wives mistreated by their husbands, and husbands mistreated by their wives. But then the final one is that Christians will be mistreating each other. Has that happened? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 8. It said, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, all of you, and sympathetic. Love one another and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing." And he continued to say a few things as to why it is important that the believer does these things. Amen. Now, Peter does not say that all of these things just stands, because sometimes when somebody is not treating you fairly, it's not easy to be nice to them. Is that true? Be honest. How many of you are just going to keep being nice to someone who is just mistreating you? It's not that cheap. But he gives us an example. He says Christ is the example. He gave it two times. One is in 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 21 to 25. He talks about the fact that Christ allowed himself to be mistreated so he can die on the cross for our sins. Pastor, does that apply? Yeah, it does. Because Christ could have simply said, "I'm God, you can't mistreat me." Then he would not have died. Then you and I would not have been born again. It gives us a picture that whenever we allow ourselves sometimes to be, without fighting back when we have been mistreated, something greater will come out of it. So he sets an example for us here. Let me read one of them, all right? 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Let's read verse 18 of 1 Peter. He said, "For Christ also suffered for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring you and me to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, in which he also went and made." So he tells you clearly that Christ suffered. He was mistreated, but he did not fight back. Are you guys with me? Now, I am teaching you these things because sometimes, believers, we like misinterpreting Scripture so badly. And then after we do it and it doesn't work, then all of a sudden God must be, it's like we get angry. Let me show you one scripture like that. It has relevance in what we are doing. Now, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, does the Bible say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me"? All things? Until you pay attention to the text and the context. And Paul says, "I know how to abound and I know how to what? Abase. I know how to have a lot of money, and I know how to stay poor. In all these things, he says, I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the contest. He didn't say you can take somebody's husband through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Peter says, irrespective of the contest you find yourself where there's unfairness or you've been mistreated, your example is Christ Jesus. Your example is what? All right. Now, that was introduction. So let's close. So Peter now begins to tell his readers how the believer can find hope in Christ despite the unfair treatment. And we find that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. I will give four or five major things to you, and I'll elaborate on two, and we will close. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 13. He says, who then will harm you? Everybody say, who then? So if somebody is mistreating you, the Bible is asking the question, who is this individual? Can they really harm you? He says, who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good? In other words, if your heart is that you want to please God, anybody wanting to destroy you, they're not going to succeed. Did you get that? So the first lesson I want us to learn is that concerning the persecutor or the person, please be calm. Don't be like some of the modern day preachers. They curse everybody. Somebody died on the cross for them and you are cursing them. So concerning the persecutor, be calm towards them. Keep in mind that no one can inflict a lasting damage on the child of God. Why? Because you are secured in Christ Jesus. No one. So for them, they think that they are destroying you. They cannot destroy you. If you're a wife, a husband cannot destroy you. If you're a husband, your wife, they just cannot. They are doing something. Didn't Paul say in the book of Romans chapter 8, look at verse 31. He says, what then shall we say? If God is for me, who? Which government? Which master? Which husband? Which wife? Which Christian? I heard that somebody was just cursing me. They were praying that I don't make it. And I said, why is this person wasting his time? Because I have a history. It's history of slipping through. I have been tried many times. It never worked. So I don't know why you waste your time like that. And please, don't waste your time with these church members, because they are God's own people. Look at verse 33, Romans 8 again. It says, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things, the unjust treatment in it, the scripture says, you are more than what? A conqueror. So concerning the persecutor, the people who are doing it, just be calm. Be what? Secondly, concerning the injustices that you've faced, find joy in it. You must learn to find joy in it. Look at verse 14, 1 Peter chapter 3. It said, but even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. You are? Blessed. You are blessed. So whenever you're going through, when you're experiencing the unfairness, instead of you spending the energy worried over, why is this person doing that? Why is this supervisor doing this against me at this place of work? Child, just chill. Find joy in it. I said, find what? Joy in it. Why? Because what is meant to destroy us often turns out for our good. Didn't Joseph say, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. Paul the Apostle puts it out this way in the book of Philippians 1, 12 to 14. Let me read that to you. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what had happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. What happened to him? He was put in jail, but he ended up what? Advancing the gospel. Instead of you spending your time, Lord, I bind all these people who are not treating me right. I bind them. And you realize the next morning they are loosed. And you are wondering, who lose them? Who lose them? For you know, God wants to lose the people. And you are binding what God wants to lose. Leave it to him. He knows what he's going to do. Amen. It says, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Paul is saying when he was arrested, if many of us were in jail, I don't think we're going to be happy that we were arrested. But that was how God was going to advance his work. All of a sudden, we will start praying. Where are all them demons from our mother's side? Always is from the mother's side. It never comes from the father's side. That's interesting. Look at verse 14, Philippians 1. It says, most of the brothers, having gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dared even more to speak the word of God fearlessly. It's amazing what God can do. So concerning all the things you are going through, no matter how unfair it is, we are in an era where people have to lie on their resumes to get jobs. And maybe you have made a decision, I'm not doing that. And it looks like you are not getting a job. God will fight for you. All them boys who are coming, you want to get inside your pants. I'm talking about the girls now. And you decide, I ain't doing this. So they go. They go. And now you are 30. And then around maybe you are 35. And you are wondering, oh, should I give in? Please do not give in. Do not what? There are a few virgins. Be one of them. Don't nobody talk you into foolishness. Are you with me? The third way we can prepare, is that concerning the Lord. You know, whenever we have unfair treatment, we tend to blame God too, right? So concerning the Lord, remain steadfast. Recognize Christ as your Lord, even during trials. Recognize that. Look at verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, the first part. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time. Regard Christ as what? As Lord. Regard him as Lord. Fourthly, concerning other people. You know, when you start having unfair treatment, you want to stay away from people, correct? You don't want to deal with nobody. Why should I get close so they know my business? They already know your business because you put it out on social media. We know. Don't avoid people. In fact, open up. Because I'm telling you, you've been struggling with something. Somebody would say one thing to you and it solves the problem. Are you with me? If you look at the same verse 15, look at the second part. He says, be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. Tell them that I have hope in Christ, even though I am not treated fairly. And it will bring a blessing to someone. Share your hope in Christ that sustains you through adversity. Share it with someone. Amen. Finally, if you look at verse 16, Peter gives us a very important principle. And this one is very big. Please read verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3 with me. Read. Yet, do this with gentleness and reverence, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. The first lesson we see there is that you must learn to walk in integrity. Secondly, keep a clear conscience. Because you realize that because of the treatment, all of a sudden, resentment, bitterness is kicking in. Keep a clear conscience. Amen. So, as we close this morning, I want to say this to you. No matter the unfair treatment, remain steadfast in the Lord. Walk in integrity. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. everybody said amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Spiritual Encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.